Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Be with you until 1 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and hope you'll be able to stick with us. And again, my thanks to Pastor Lutz for allowing me to sit in for him in the half hour previously on his program for the cause of Christ. I hope you got a chance to hear that. And again, it's a good program, and even when Pastor Lutz is on it. So I have to always hit something in there for him. But and then, of course, Pastor Rusnacko will be on after us at 2 o'clock for another half hour. So hope you'll stay tuned for that. And in the meanwhile, you're stuck with me. So here we go. We'll just get into a couple of things here. Reminder, of course, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And also that'll link to our church page, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. And also you can follow us online at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And we've got our YouTube broadcast. We'll be streaming there hopefully momentarily. It just takes a few minutes to get everything clicked through, but it'll be there momentarily. And we have got a special program lined up today. I'm joined in the studio today with possibly, hopefully, maybe our next congressional representative, Jonah Schultz, running for Congress in Ohio's House District 11. And Jonah, welcome to the program today.
Yes, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, I was just trying to get in some of our congressional candidates, and you know, the 11th House District is important to me. I live in it, and our church is in it, and so a lot of our audience is in it. I was looking on a map, and I was thinking, you know, this district is kind of one of those sort of snaky ones that comes from Cleveland, East Cleveland, Euclid, South Euclid, Garfield Heights, Bedford yes. Heights, I think. And then it snakes down through Seven Hills, Broadview Heights, Richfield, Bath, Fairlawn, and then it has tentacles into the various sides of western side of Akron, I guess
yes,
it is.
So yes.
Kind of interesting.
It's one of the more interesting districts you'll see, and it's obviously a very gerrymandered district. Kind of looks like an elephant if you're looking at it for the first time. So very interesting shape to it, for sure.
Well, and there's a lot of contrasts in the district, too, when you think about it, because it goes from some of the poorest neighborhoods in Ohio, really, not just in the area, but in the entire state of Ohio,
yes.
as well as some of the most wealthy neighborhoods. That's got to be a challenge trying to relate to all these different diverse groups.
Yeah, it's a very diverse district. You're looking at the cities of Cleveland and Akron, very much inner city. You're looking at very poor communities and wealthy communities as well. They're more situated in suburbs and rural areas as well. So from top to bottom, you have to be able to craft a message and a platform that's going to be able to benefit every one of the people that you're going to want to serve inside of your district. And you can't have a singular focus on any one of those groups. You have to be able to craft legislation that's going to improve all those lives.
Right, right. Well, I guess before we get started here, and I know time usually goes away a lot faster, goes a lot faster when you're doing this. You think, I'm never going to be able to have enough to talk about, but when we wind up at the end of the program, we're always thinking there's so much more we could have talked about. But I guess first and foremost, you know, who is Jonah Schultz?
Sure. Well, for anybody who doesn't know me or hasn't heard of my campaign, I'm 25 years old. I'm the youngest congressional candidate in the country. And so in 2017, I graduated from the University of Findlay out in Northwest Ohio with a finance degree. I was able to work in some office environments, you know, advertising, sales, insurance sales, those kind of deals, until I was finally offered my first professional baseball contract, which I had worked very hard to achieve that, and obviously took that opportunity to go play some pro ball down in New Mexico and throughout the Southwest. And was able to do that, pursue my dream, had played collegiately, you know, little league, high school, all throughout my life had been my life goal to be able to play professionally and to be able to pursue that. Baseball has given me so many opportunities and given me so many friendships, work opportunities, travel opportunities, you name it. It's been kind of at the core of my life, since I could pick up a baseball. And so, you know, once I got home from New Mexico, I knew I couldn't go back behind my desk. I'm not very much 9-to-5 behind a computer at a desk day type of person. And so that's why I founded my nonprofit organization in 2018, Diamonds in the Rough. And so what we do at Diamonds in the Rough is we renovate rundown baseball fields in underprivileged communities. And what I saw was, you know, in founding this, all around the country, whether it's urban, rural, or any area throughout this country, there are so many once beautiful ballparks that used to be the gem of the community that have fallen into disrepair, and generations of children are now not having the same opportunity to play the game that's America's pastime and that has given my life so much opportunity. And even personally for me, in the town that I grew up in, I was not, we didn't have a quality baseball field that could, play anybody past the age of 12. And so my friends and I had to split up and play travel ball elsewhere. And a lot of people, probably most people, don't have the opportunity. They're not in the parental situation, the financial situation, or otherwise, to be able to go pursue travel baseball and leave, go 45 minutes outside their hometown to play ball. And so we were able to, our project that we just finished up in October in Twinsburg Township, we were able to raise $160,000 to go into the Twinsburg Heights neighborhood, which is a historically African-American low-income community, which around the United States, that demographic has the least access to the game of baseball, and as a result, the lowest participation rate. And so we were able to turn what was a pile of mud when we got there into a beautiful brand new ballpark for that community to be able to use for generations, brand new playing surface, fencing, dugouts, just a really gem of a ballpark in their community park, and really being phase one of trying to rejuvenate that entire neighborhood. And so really, Diamonds in the Rough, it's on its face, it's just baseball fields, but it's really so much more. When we're looking at community development and so many of these communities, especially around District 11 and in Northeast Ohio, so often these underprivileged communities, they have the worst of everything. They have the worst schools. They have the worst recreational opportunities. They have the highest crime rates. They have all of these things that give them reason to simply believe that the status quo is going to stay the status quo. And so, yes, on its face, it's just a baseball field. But when you can bring something that is beautiful, that is nice, that is uniquely their own to a community, yeah, the effect that it has on a child or even an adult to be able to see that and understand that maybe my community can change, and maybe we have the ability to grow this community, and that there is life beyond my current situation. You can't really oversell how that important that can be to a life, young or old.
One of the things that occurred to me while you're talking about Diamonds in the Rough and with baseball and all, I'm not a baseball expert by any means, but one of the things I know about baseball is facts and record keeping and all that. Everybody's always talking about this person's batting average, this person's pitching, and all these different things. And when you're thinking about District 11 and the horrible illiteracy and the lack of education many times, baseball really is, in a sense, a sport that is uniquely positioned to inspire kids to learn, because if they want to keep track of all of these stats that baseball's so big on, they got to pay attention in school, don't they?
No, it's true. Baseball is a very intellectual game. It's a very mental game. Whether you're a spectator or a player, it all really comes down to how you're able to focus and calculate all the different things that you have to do. So really, from a statistical standpoint and being interested in the game, it is very mathematical. It's one of those games that is very much measured in objective numbers, and it's not so much of the eye test that goes into it. It's whether or not you can get the job done, and I think that that's something that shows up more on paper than the eye test, which is something that certainly from an educational standpoint, I think was part of my development and can be part of lots of children's development as well.
Right, and I really do believe that oftentimes education is one of the keys to helping lift people out of poverty, because oftentimes poverty becomes a sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy in a sense. I've marveled sometimes driving through some of these areas, and it's just like one minute you're in an area where there's prosperous houses and homes and things, and the next minute everything is run down, and people who are in that neighborhood, you think, why don't they just like move? You know, I grew up in Richfield. My disclaimer: I grew up in a semi-rural setting on a farm, and to me, the idea of moving into one of those areas when I could move out into the country and at least have a chance to do something, but it becomes a self-fulfilling thing that I'm just never going to mount anything. Nobody's going to let me. There's no opportunity. There's no hope, and that taking away of hope, I think, that robs people of the opportunity. Opportunities, especially when we see this growing economy, the jobs, historic low unemployment among minority communities, among youth, and all of that. And I do think that, you know, things like baseball and all, they do help people understand that, hey, you know, I don't have to. And other sports too, basketball, football, and all, gives people oftentimes a way out to realize I don't have to stay here. I don't have to be a prisoner. I can try something, and I can move on from there. And talking about trying things, what made you decide that you need to throw your hat in the ring during this primary season?
Yeah, so there's the obvious reason. So I live in Tremont, in Cleveland, in the Tremont neighborhood. And, you know, looking at District 11, District 11 is the most impoverished district in the state of Ohio. It is home to some of our worst schools, some of our highest crime areas, and some of the most crumbling and deteriorating neighborhoods in our country. And so it's clear that we need new leadership. You know, for 40 years, Democrats have controlled District 11 along with the cities of Cleveland and Akron. And in those 40 years, we've seen nothing but a continuation of that poverty, poor education, and crime that has plagued our most vulnerable communities. And for 12 plus years, Marsha Fudge has been our congresswoman, and she's failed to deliver on one meaningful piece of policy or legislation that would positively impact the people that she's there to serve. And so it's clear that we need new leadership, and we need dynamic leaders who are willing to step up and fill that void that we're really missing in District 11. But then, you know, you take a look at the state of our country, you know, our political discourse, the toxic culture it seems we're living in. Like you said, we're living in one of the most prosperous ages of human history. You know, we have more comforts, more technology, more luxuries than probably anybody to ever walk the face of this earth. And yet it seems like we are, you know, when we have the rates of mental health issues that we have, when we're having the toxic arguments, the types of division that we're having in our country, it's hard to imagine why would we be living in such negative and divisive times when we're living in such a prosperous time. And so I think that we need leaders. First of all, we need a new era of politician. We need politicians and leaders that are focused on public service and not self-service. And we need leaders that are going to, you know, put the people that they serve over politics. You know, we need to send leaders to Washington who are going to fight for real changes to reform our broken education and welfare systems, put real investment into workforce training and business development in our struggling communities. And most importantly, we need to send leaders to Washington who are going to fight to return the power back to where it belongs with the American people. And, you know, you look at our leaders, you know, so many people around this country, Republican or Democrat, you talk to pretty much, probably most people you talk to, and certainly most people I've talked to, is that most people feel that their representative or their public official does not represent them, Republican or Democrat. They feel, a lot of people feel politically homeless. A lot of people feel that the people that represent them don't have their best interests at heart. And people are looking for leaders who are going to, you know, make real effective change and are going to go represent them in Washington, not represent any special interests, not represent or not go to Washington just to collect as many votes as it takes for the next 2 years to get elected again. And so we really need to change politics and government as it is. And so understanding that we need to send leaders forth in America that are going to heal this country and heal this division that we're feeling and encourage individuals to be open and to be kind and to lead from a point of love and respect towards their fellow man. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to grow and develop and unite as a country. Because at the end of the day, we do have to live in this country together. And we're not, you know, regardless of how hostile things become and the aggression that, you know, has been directed at me politically over the course of my life, we have to be able to, you know, remain calm and come from a point of love, because that's the only way that we're going to bring any anybody to our way of thinking or to, you know, heal this country and move forward. So for all those reasons, you know, I felt very called, you know, emotionally, spiritually, and just, you know, intellectually on paper to run for Congress in District 11.
You know, when you're talking about those things, one of the things I was thinking the Bible talks about, preaching the truth in love. And and one of the things that a lot of people are lamenting is that we don't seem to have this ability to disagree, yet get along with people that we disagree
right.
with. I don't know if you've been following the CPAC convention going on right now, but I was listening to a guy, he's a conservative, a black conservative radio host, David Webb. He's on the Patriot system and Sirius Radio. And he was talking, this was just yesterday, he was talking about a young black woman who, a staunch conservative, outspoken, and she was at a restaurant after one of the sessions yesterday, I guess it was, and he came into the hotel. She was in the lobby, and she was crying, and he wanted to know what was happening. And she had a MAGA hat on at the restaurant, and some other young black woman came up to her and just got in her face and called her just about every horrible, vile epithet, the name and racist term that she could, and called her a traitor to her race because she had a MAGA hat on. And she said it was, and that, if that wasn't bad enough, when they left the restaurant, because they were the one, her and her party were once thrown out. And when left, there was a black taxi cab driver stopped his car and I guess opened the door and started laughing at him when they were thrown out. And she just, you know, it's just, why can't people disagree civilly when we have, you know, opposite views on issues, but we could still have civil discourse in this country?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one thing that we're trying to fix. And, you know, things have become so tribal with politics, especially in our country right now. It's, you know, politics has almost become a team sport where people, they choose their side, Republican, Democrat, or whatever they choose to align themselves with, and they dig in their heels and they just root for their side to beat the other. And that's not the way our, you know, that's not the way we're supposed to function as human beings, and certainly not the way our politics is supposed to work. And it's, I think it's very unfortunate that you're seeing so many people right now who are just being, you know, so many have experienced it, especially conservatives, just being berated in public. I mean, I've personally lost friends and acquaintances. I've been shouted down in public and had these experiences myself. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to know when to fight, obviously. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with standing up for what you believe and standing firm in your principles. And we should do that every day of our lives. But at the end of the day, we do have two options. You know, the first option, which is the natural human reaction, is to match that aggression. You know, when somebody comes to you and, you know, starts shouting at you and starts calling you every name under the sun, you know, we've all experienced certain moments like that where we've been, you know, wrongly accused of being something we're not. And, you know, we, in those situations, we can either match that, and in which that situation, if that person walks away from the conversation, they're going to say, see, that person's exactly the way that I expected them to be. They were rude to me. They were aggressive to me, not even taking into account their own aggressiveness. But if you do try to disarm their aggressiveness with love and respect and trying to be understanding and being calm, you know, they're probably going to question themselves when they walk away from that relation or that conversation. You know, most times, you know, when you have a disagreement or a debate with somebody, you're not going to change their entire life view in the course of one conversation.
No.
But what you can do is you can plant a seed in somebody's mind that, you know, get the wheels turning, that there could be, you know, they could be wrong. There's a potential that there's life and the world is a little bit different than what they view it. And you never know where one thought goes. And so that's our responsibility, I think, at this point, is to continue to approach those who do disagree with us from a point of love and respect and not be afraid to engage with them, but not come at it from a point of hostility or aggression or anything else, because that's a way we're going to create real change. And that's the only way we're going to possibly unite and not dig ourselves in a deeper hole.
Right. And, you know, and that's true. I want to switch gears a little bit here because we're fast running through the clock here. It just goes half hour show. I was joking the other night talking with the Goldsteins, mutual friends of ours, and said somebody's got a few million dollars out there and they want to get rid of some of it. I'll gladly take some and stay on the air a little longer. But I want to kind of switch and ask a question. It might seem like an odd question, but the reason I ask this question, and the question is, have you read the United States Constitution? Because you look at some of our representatives, some of our senators, some of our government officials, and including the current incumbent, Marcia Fudge, mm-hmm. and I have to question, have they ever actually looked at the Constitution? Because that really is your job requirement, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or, I mean, description, I should say.
Yeah, it should be required reading for every, I think, child every in this
American
country, every American
read it,
in
yeah.
this country. You know, the Constitution is our guide in politics and in governing. And if that isn't your guide, then you don't belong in office. And so all of those things, all of our individual freedoms and liberties that are outlined in our Constitution, that's what needs to guide us first and foremost and be the basis of our decisions when we're governing. And so I think when you look at individuals like Marcia Fudge and, you know, the Democrats recently with the impeachment process, you know, they bring up the Constitution when it's convenient. You know, I hadn't heard, you know, Marcia Fudge talk about the Constitution in you know, over a decade until the impeachment mm-hmm. started. And even at that point, it was a very, faulty basis for her approach to it. But that should be our guiding light. And the Constitution may be the most important document in all of human history that has created the most prosperous, free, and just society that this world has ever seen in the United States of America. And if we abandon the Constitution, we abandon the principles that have made this country great. And I'm not saying America has always been perfect. We haven't always lived up to those ideals. But those ideals are what has gotten us to this point and what will make an even greater society for all Americans. And so, absolutely, I've read the Constitution and something that all Americans need to do.
And, of course, you were talking with Jonah Schultz, candidate for Congress. He's going to be facing primary vote here on just coming up. Was it March 17th?
Yes,
I believe
yeah.
it's coming up. It's going to be here before you know it, and I encourage people to get out and vote. What is your website? Where can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so go to schultzforcongress.com. That's spelled S-C-H-U-L-Z, schultzforcongress.com. You can go to Jonah Schultz for Congress on Facebook as well, and then Jonah Schultz, O-H, on Twitter and Instagram as well, if you want to find out more about my campaign, my positions, and learn a little bit more about me.
All right, now we got less than 3 minutes left. It goes fast. Let me just hit a couple things real quick, because I know a lot of our listeners are going to be questioning and might want to know your position. Do you describe yourself as pro-life?
Yes, absolutely. I am a pro-life individual. You know, both my faith and science guide me in that approach. You know, science has proven that life begins at conception. The more we learn about, you know, more science shows us, the more pro-life science becomes. And so we know mm-hmm. that human life begins at conception, and we know that our Constitution guarantees certain rights to every human life, and the first among these is the right to life. So government's right. first responsibility is to protect life, and so absolutely 100% pro-life. And I've been very proud of the steps that Ohio has taken, although we're not where we need to be yet, especially as a nation, but there are states that are making progress to where we ultimately need to go.
All right. And yeah, absolutely. The more they discover, the more every human being is unique mm-hmm. creation of God. And I
yes.
appreciate your answer there. We got about a minute and a half. I guess I just asked another one that people have wondered about, too, on our candidates. Second Amendment. You know, you hear a lot of people upholding the First Amendment, but not the Second Amendment.
Right. Well, the Second Amendment is the amendment that safeguards all of the others and all of our
right.
other freedoms. And so it is clear that shall not be infringed upon, our Second Amendment. And so the federal government, our state governments, and local governments have made it their job over several decades to continue to infringe upon that right. And so we need to ensure that individuals are able to protect themselves and their families. And, you know, the Second Amendment wasn't made for hunting. It wasn't made for collecting guns. It was made to defend yourself and your family from your life, liberty, and property from enemies, foreign and domestic. So we need to understand the basis of that and continue to protect it.
All right. Well, thank you, Jonah Schultz, for being here with me today. And I want to encourage people to come out, check out your website again. What's that?
SchultzForCongress.com.
All right. And again, if you haven't marked your calendar, mark your calendar. March 17th is election day, primary election day. And
yes.
We wish you the best on that. I know you've got a couple challengers, and and we've been trying to get different people on the radio as time allows, but certainly if you win in the primaries, we'll hopefully you'll come back and be with us before the general election.
Absolutely, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We're out of time today, and thanks for listening today. Again, check out Jonah Schultz.
SchultzForCongress.com.
Thank you. And God bless. Join us again next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.